Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Go look at yourself in the mirror and point to yourself and say, God loves me.
That's great, because I love me too.
Live in the freedom that God loves you unconditionally.
And he loves you unconditionally.
God's love for you is unconditional.
Preaching that God loves you unconditionally is the wrong message.
God has a good will towards everybody, believers and non-believers.
But there is another love reserved only for those who embrace the gospel and put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is there anything more exciting than the big, beautiful bill? This is Wretched Radio. Did you watch the signing as the Jets flew overhead? The big, beautiful bill. It's going to usher in a golden age for America. And we love that stuff. Could there be anything better? Yep, I'm holding it in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers. I'm sorry, from my little Christian perspective, this to me is way more impactful, enduring, and important. That's right. I enjoyed the signing of the big, beautiful bill. I like a lot of the stuff that's inside of it. I'm hopeful that it's going to affect human flourishing, but all of it will recede into the rearview mirror of history. There have been many big, beautiful bills, and they're important. They do affect us as a society. But there is nothing more important than the souls of men, women, and children and where they will spend eternity. And that's why I'm so pumped about this. And I hope this will be an encouragement to you, too. Well, what is it that I'm rattling around in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers? It is the current list of all of the places where an evangelistic card is going to be put into the hands of a young man, because virtually all of them, and that is not an exaggeration, are struggling with porn. They are lost. They are confused. They feel guilt. They feel shame. And the card that is going to be distributed has a QR code that brings them to not just a book, but also an audio book. And now a video book connected to a QR code. And these are the places where they're going to be distributed, by people who visited fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. That's it. We got a lot of stuff going on. This is eternal kingdom work right here. Yeah, politics, it has its place, but it is a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. Come on, Caesar had big, beautiful bills. Cool. Winston Churchill had a big, beautiful bill. Nito Keene. But this is more important because the gospel is what God is about. Shining the light on his goodness, his kindness, his mercy, his benevolence, his love for sinners through the redemptive work of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the work. That's the bill that is truly big and beautiful because it lasts for eternity. So I've got pages. I think we've got about 200 people who have already signed up to give away the Play the Man cards. 200 folks said, okay, I'm going to do it. Here's where they're going in no particular order. One wrote, streets and shelter. Good for you. University of Virginia, Michigan State University, Sacramento State, Virginia Western Community College, Branson, Missouri, tourists. Yep, they... Is Branson still in business? I don't know. What is Jim Stafford still working? That's, I think, the question that we need to have an answer to. Does he still not like spiders and snakes? Is he still actually performing in Branson? What about them Oak Ridge boys? Can you still get a ticket to see those guys at Branson? Parks, stores, anywhere. Lone Star Community College, UNLV, University of Tennessee, Knoxville. Ukraine with student ministry. Cool. Central Lakes College in Brainerd, Minnesota. That is, whew, We're getting close to Canada there, is what we are. Baylor University. Baylor is the one that just received over $500,000 to start promoting more aggressively LGBTQ stuff. Baylor University. University of Akron, parks where youth are around, Collin College, the Frisco campus, school and work, University of Mary Washington. Or is it University of Mary in Washington? I think that's right up there with Jim Stafford and the Oak Ridge Boys. This is the type of information we need. Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, in my neighborhood, at work to customers. Houston Christian University, area high schools, wherever I go. Northern Kentucky University, Garden City Community College, University of Findlay in Ohio, Wesleyan University, Downtown Rescue Mission. It just goes, that's like two pages, 200 people. Would you like to participate in something eternal, something that is lasting, something that will literally ripple through eternity? Wouldn't you love to be involved in the saving of souls? This is so easy. You don't need to talk to anybody. Okay, beyond saying, here. There you go. One word. Here. Okay, we'll make it two words if you want to get really bold. Get this. See, you make it a question mark. Get this. It's all you need to do. And then you put it in their hand and off they go. Or you could even stop and talk to them. This is an outstanding opportunity and we're giving them away and they're free and so is shipping. Come on, y'all. Shipping is nothing. Nothing's going to cost you nothing. Okay. Our gospel partners provide the support for it. But that's what we do here. The more people give, the more we want to be given away. So if you would like to participate and add to our list and do something that is bigger than a big, beautiful bill, FortisInstitute.org/playtheman. You say, will they get the gospel? Well, let me share with you some excerpt, little bits from the book. It says this, chapter one, first things first, before you can pass go, collect $200, you got to make sure you're a Christian. And we go through the law and we go through the gospel. But then there's an explanation I thought might be helpful for you. When it comes to battling the sin of pornography or any sin whatsoever, the reason that people are enslaved to porn is because they like it. They prefer it over righteousness. And so do you, and so do I. In the moment, we are loving something less, which is why chapter 3 is called Trading a Cistern for a Well. So let me share with you an excerpt from that. Merely pointing out the disgusting nature of porn cannot expunge your love for it. A denunciation of the horrors of your habits must be supplanted by something else, or your heart will forever desire its former lover. That's the way it works. If you are commanded to kick a beloved king off the throne of your heart without a benevolent king in waiting, you will not be willing to engage in this coup. To be clear, you should never stop growing in your revulsion towards sin, but a man who is merely sin-focused will never gain mastery over his members. You and I need the expulsive power of new and better affections. Thanks to indoor plumbing, most of us don't know what a cistern is. It's a man-made receptacle, old school. This is Old Testament style. They probably still use it in places where they don't have plumbing, where the water gathers and it'll drain down then into a pot. And that's your mostly sort of potable water. It's going to be mealy. It's going to be grainy. It's going to be filled with whatever flies into it. And it's not going to be cold and refreshing. And the Bible uses the cistern to point out you're drinking from a busted cistern when you choose sin. And Jesus, Isaiah first, and then Jesus echoes it. Come to the living water. Come to the better. Porn is the lesser. What is the better? Jesus and his ways. They're better. And until an individual sees him as better, his ways as better, you're going to keep going back to the cistern. And you're going to be drinking from tepid, mealy, dirty water, and you're never going to be satisfied because it never satisfies. Come to the well. Come to the clean, cool, refreshing waters that quenches your thirst. And it can only be found in Jesus Christ. So what is the goal then of the individual struggling with sin? Yeah, have a revulsion for sin. You got to have that, but you've got to have expulsive power that comes with the new affection of growing in your love for Jesus Christ and recognizing that his ways are always better ways. You never, no, in the history, I don't know if Barna's done this poll, no dude who has ever watched porn went, you know what, I'm really glad I did that today. No, they never do that. Why? Because they drank from a cistern. Would you like to pass out living water to people on university campuses or just about any place? Please visit fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit fortisinstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God. But let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive.
To be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God.
And this isn't just another how-to show. Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive reveals the truth about your marriage. It's a living picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And your parenting, it's a divine calling to disciple the next generation. As Pastor Brad says, your home wasn't designed to just survive. God created it to thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at fortisplus.org or all major podcast platforms.
Know your church fathers. Cyprian was a 3rd century theologian from Carthage, North Africa, where he served as bishop until he was beheaded under Emperor Valerian. Cyprian authored a book called On the Unity of the Church, stressing the unity of the universal church as well as the importance and authority of the local church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How would you like to be a brand new you? Too late, you already are. This is Wretched Radio. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You do not need to sin. You do not need to walk like the pagans. You can walk what you are. What are you? You are called as a saint. That's who you are positionally in Jesus Christ. You are a saint. And Paul, in the book of Ephesians, then encourages you to just act it out. Act the way that you are. Some verses, as we learned in Sunday school this week at Alpharetta Bible Church, if you ever visit us, and we love seeing visitors come to Alpharetta Bible Church, come early for Bible study. You'll be blessed like nobody's business because Mike does a bang-up job. We're working through the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, you were once darkness. That's who you were. Be imitators of God as dear children. That's what you are. You're a dear child. You're a new creation. Walk in love as Christ loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So there's all the motivation you need to be and live what you are. You're a dear child of God who has been loved. It should be a no-brainer then to choose righteousness. That's all been done for me. Why would I want to play Judas and betray my Savior for sin? No, you don't want to do that as a new creation. And verses 1 and 2 tell us exactly how. Where do you get the power to do that? You walk in love because Christ has loved you and given himself up for you as an offering and sacrifice to God. And then he lists some familiar words. And most likely, as I read these, you're going to go, yeah, that seems pretty clear. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Do you know what those three words mean and what they have to do with one another? Mike brought this out in Sunday school. Fornication, all uncleanness, and covetousness, greed. Wait, what? What? Why do those three go together? Well, one of them is the fornication is what you do with your body. We know what that word means. It's what you do with your body. But then the next word, all uncleanness, has more to do with the thoughts. So be pure in how you use your body, but be pure in how you use your mind. But then it throws in something interesting, covetousness. What does greed have to do with fornication and dirty thoughts? Well, they're all the same. It's all about desiring something that doesn't belong to you. So they're lumped together. But then he goes even further. And it may be, remember, Paul, he presents an argument. These are not disjointed. These are not like proverbial thoughts. He then says, but fornication, all of these things, they shouldn't even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither, and then this is a weird list, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. It's not fitting for a new creation. It's not fitting for a saint. It's not fitting for a beloved child of God. What isn't? Filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting. How did we get there? It seems that Paul went from body purity, mind purity, and tongue purity. That is how we are to behave as saints, as priests in the kingdom of God. We are supposed to act the way that we are, and we have every motivation to do so because of verse 1 and 2. Because you have been loved. You've been sacrificed for. Now, don't walk in the darkness anymore. Walk in the light. How does one do that? I think one of the keys, if not the key, is having a greater love for Jesus Christ. The more you love him, the more you loathe sin. The more you stare at Jesus, the more you will become like Jesus because you will love him more and more and more. Having said that, I think that there's something else that we need to desire. I don't think this should be the primary desire, but I do think that it is a desire that is helpful in the battle of sin, to be able to walk in purity and integrity in every regard. And that is to understand what God wants to make of you, what you could look like, how you could present yourself, how people view somebody who walks in integrity. I think Psalm 1 supports this. The man, the woman who dwells on his word, what happens? Privileges. The dude who doesn't, no privileges. You shrivel up, die. You don't get to do anything glorious because you're not walking in the light of what you actually are. Permit me to share with you chapter 5 of Play the Man. This is the booklet that we have on. It's going to be online. It's going to be audio. It's going to be video. It's going to be the printed word. We have this QR code on a card. There's the card right there that you can distribute wherever you go to young men. Hand it to them. And this particular one says, enough is enough. You've tried everything. Nothing works. Play the Man isn't just another book. It's exactly what you need to break the chains of porn. One of the things that you need to break the chains of porn is a higher view of Jesus and, I contend, a higher view of yourself. From the booklet, a godly man is the best of men. He might not have the strength to strangle a wild boar, but he has the internal strength that rules his members. He has mastery over his thoughts, his emotions, will, and passions. In other words, he walks in the light. He walks what he was made to be. The godly man doesn't strut with his chest thrust out, but he has an internal confidence that is attractive to women and men alike. A godly man is relied on, looked to. A godly man is admired, given weightier responsibilities. He makes women feel safe. He raises kids to love the Lord because they see Christ in their father. Want to be that kind of man? You can be. You can have mastery over your desires and channel your energies into accomplishing great things. Then God gives us that choice, doesn't he? This isn't out of my imagination. You can be a privy pot, or you can be a beautiful vase used for glorious things. Up to you. Now, the world says the glorious things are becoming a captain of industry, owning a big house, fast car. Those are the things that you should be striving for. But that's not what genuine great things are. If you want to be a great man, being honest in thought, word, and deed, possessing integrity at all times and in all places, even when you're alone, inspiring other men to be better versions of themselves, leading a woman who looks at you like you hung the moon, having kids who tell their friends, I want to be just like my daddy. Those are great things. Want to be that kind of man? You can be. You can be mentally strong and direct your energies toward one woman. You want to be a man who celebrates 50 years of marriage with a woman who cannot live without you still. Would you like to be a man whose children think, my dad belongs on Mount Rushmore? You don't have to be a slinking, skulking, weak, deformed man. You can be these things. You can be these things. Why? Because first of all, positionally, you already are. Imagine that. Isn't that just mind-boggling? Let's say you're still dabbling in porn, whatever that looks like. Nevertheless, God sees you as a saint. That's what you need to know. That's what you need to know. That the Lord has purchased you, cleansed you, adopted you, and that he loves you forever. You will always choose what your affections tell you is the better thing. So you need to see the better version of yourself. And these are all biblical references, by the way. So here's the compare and contrast. The choice is yours, whether it's porn or any other sin. Here's your choice that you're making. When you contemplate, should I do this or not? You can choose dog vomit or godliness. You pick. You can choose to be a low-life pervert or a dignified, masculine man. You can choose to live a diminished life of shame or a life that leads your wife and children to conclude you belong in the Godly Man Hall of Fame. You can choose to be alone with yourself in a way that would make the world disgusted if they caught you in your dirty deed, or you can walk away from your computer and tell the Lord, I love you more than this momentary pleasure, and I want to be a man who does great things for you. You can choose to be a low-life creeper who peeps into forbidden windows, or you can choose to lead a virtuous and admired life. How can you do that? Well, the answer is you can't. But God will give you the power as you have a better vision of Jesus and a better vision of yourself. Would you like to help young men become what God wants them to be? You can distribute Play the Man for free. Simply visit fortisinstitute.org/playtheman and join hundreds of others who will be invading America, mostly university campuses, but everywhere, with great news that Jesus Christ is the better choice. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Kicking off today with some irony. We all know that the big, beautiful bill was passed. And before that happened, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries talked pretty much nonstop, trying to effectively filibuster the bill. The irony rich here because the same congressman previously denounced that filibustering was racist when the Republicans were using it to block Biden's agenda. Now that it serves his purposes, apparently the filibuster has been miraculously cleansed of its racist origins. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court has declined to hear Children's Health Defense's case against Meta, leaving unexamined what a lot of people see as clear evidence of government big tech collusion since COVID. The Children's Health Defense alleged that Facebook, under federal pressure, systematically targeted and banned their vaccine skepticism content, allegations that gained credibility when Mark Zuckerberg himself shut down Meta's fact-checking program just one day after CHD petitioned the high court. The timing suggests even Zuckerberg recognized the censorship apparatus had become indefensible. Some better news from the transportation secretary, who has instructed all 50 states to remove political messaging from crosswalks and roadways within 60 days. That means goodbye to the rainbow crosswalks, Black Lives Matter street murals, and other woke virtue signaling masquerading as traffic infrastructure. The secretary's memo prioritizes safety over political statements, noting that, quote, far too many Americans die each year to traffic fatalities to take our eye off the ball. Indiana Governor Mike Braun is showing what pro-life leadership looks like in practice, implementing sweeping reforms to enforce the state's abortion reporting laws. Under his executive order, the Indiana Department of Health will now pursue financial penalties against hospitals refusing to submit required abortion reports. And in Virginia, the state delivered another victory for religious freedom when a circuit court struck down the state's ban on talk therapy for minors struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion. Christian counselors had been forced to stop treating minors entirely to avoid violating the 2020 law. Tragically, Colombian authorities have discovered a mass grave containing 8 evangelical Christian leaders who disappeared months ago after being summoned by FARC descendants. These men were conducting humanitarian and spiritual work when they were murdered, apparently to prevent the alleged ELN cell from emerging, though no evidence linked the victims to any guerrilla activity. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 405 AD. After 23 years of work, translating from Hebrew and Greek manuscripts, Jerome completes the Latin Vulgate version of the Bible that becomes the standard for the next 1,000 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Like Rodney Dangerfield. I don't think that's actually right. Like Rodney Dangerfield. I'm going to go back to school. This is Wretched Radio. Didn't he just go back to school as an adult to party?
I thought
that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Okay, so That's not why I'm going back to school. Not going to be like Rodney Dangerfield at all, even though I suspect I might not get no respect either. Get to go to university campuses this fall to engage with students. And Jimmy, do you know how we're going to do it?
How?
We're going to crush them.
Yes.
We're going to make them look stupid and uneducated, lazy, slothful Gen Z. They didn't grow up the way that. I'm sorry. That's not our ministry. That's what other people.
That's
do.
Already taken.
That is already taken. Wow. And is it popular? We want to go to the university campuses because I think there's a different wind blowing. It used to be about debate. It used to be about ramming heads together. I don't see it that way anymore. Sure, there's some students who are going to be like that. But overall, I think the zeitgeist of our time is that the young people are just, they're looking. They know things are off kilter, but they don't know what kilter is. And they're trying to sort it. And we want to go to the university campuses to meet them with what they're dealing with and show them that Jesus Christ is what is missing in their life. And so we're doing events in Georgia, going to Oklahoma U to talk about the issue of deconstruction with it, which is all the rage these days. And if it goes as well as I'm hoping it is going to go, I'm not supposed to tell you this now, so I won't tell you. This is going to be a big deal for us in 2026. We want to get to as many campuses as we can to deal with a variety of subjects. Yep, we'll engage with what it means to be a young man. We'll engage with the issue of pornography. We'll engage with the issue of origins, science. We'll engage in Christian ethics. We'll engage even in getting young people ready for marriage and parenting. They're thinking about it. Brad Bigney would crush it if you went to a university campus to explain to them, hey, you've been putting off marriage because you've got a wrong perception of it. Here's what marriage is, and this is what it's going to do for you, and this is what you're going to become, and this is how profound it is. Furthermore, we want to talk about mental health issues. Going to be doing that with Greg Giffert at Kennesaw State University and North Georgia University. But when I go to Oklahoma, I get to talk about the subject of deconstruction. Mentioned maybe last week, there was a book written by Alyssa Childers and Tim Barnett that I heard about and thought, hey, it deals with the deconstruction of Christianity. Maybe I could glean some things. Well, I ordered the book, I got it, and now I hold it in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers and would like to share with you perhaps a bit of an understanding of why so many students are deconstructing so that your student won't. And here's what I'm getting from this. And I don't know where they're going to go in the book yet. I'm only a few chapters into it. I think we might just keep this on the front burner here at Wretched because they've identified, I believe, five typical reasons why young people are deconstructing. That's instructive. So we got to know what those issues are. But my question is, and this is what I'm pondering before going to Oklahoma, is how do you persuade them that Christianity shouldn't be deconstructed? Why should you not throw out the baby and the bathwater when it comes to these five issues? And I am not sure that engaging on the level of each one of the issues is going to do it. I'm not sure at this moment, but I think we need to give them a more transcendent view of God and of Christianity and the Bible. I think they need to be persuaded that there is something bigger and better. There's something that is actually works. There's something that will actually help you to live a life that makes sense. And unless I think we accomplish that, They're just going to find an excuse. So let me share with you some of these excuses, starting with the preamble from Carl Truman. And Carl is always good. He reminds us that this deconstruction business, it ain't new. There's kind of an old school name for what the kids call deconstruction. We used to call it apostasy. This is nothing new. Said there's a number of cases in the New Testament, starting with 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas. had fallen in love with the things of this world. That's key. If somebody deconstructs, it's because they've fallen in love with the world and they've fallen out of love, not that they were ever in love with the triune God. They love the things of this world. That's what drives deconstruction. I don't know that it's necessarily these excuses. I think the excuses are used to justify their desire to abandon righteousness and holy living and the rules of their parents because, rules are just oppressive. Because they love the world, just like Demas. The language of deconstruction, writes Truman, is something of a pose. Those who use the term and its cognates often have little grasp of its origins or its technical meaning. Thus, it uses this novel intellectual veneer of sophistication to something more prosaic. The age-old phenomenon of abandoning Christianity. Well, we don't call it that. That's too old school. We call it deconstruction. And so it gives it this veneer of sophistication, and it makes it sound like you're the smart one because you've deconstructed something so horrible. One key affinity between postmodern American deconstruction and the current penchant for apostasy, both see external authority as a problem. This should sound familiar. Both see external authority as a problem of manipulative power structures and their demolition as liberating. Does that sound like Marxism to anybody else? Even if it's social Marxism? Deconstruct societal norms so that you can live life authentically. In other words, cast off all of the restraints, get rid of the people who oppress you, and then you will live happily ever after. And guess what? That mindset, religion doesn't have a wall around it. Pernicious philosophies will inevitably come knocking on the door of the church. So the mindset that the kids have been getting taught now for very long, now at least a couple of decades, probably more. The whole idea that anybody who is in authority is oppressive and must be cast off because they're an oppressor and you are oppressed. And Christianity is the chief oppressor. It just wants to rob you of your fun. And this is why I'm taking the time to think through, all right, now how do you unravel that? How do you unwind that? And right now, my conclusion is, well, you are already following an authority. You already have an oppressor. The only question is, who is it? Most likely, if you're deconstructing, your oppressor is you, because you're writing the rules for your life. You're imposing the terms on yourself. There is always going to be somebody who makes the decisions, and it's always going to be the person that has the most authority. And the question then, of course, is, well, who has the most authority? And the answer is God. And so he gets to make the rules. He gets to impose his ways. Now we need to go further in that, because if you just think, well, God is going to impose his ways, then I happen to think he's a terrible meanie. Well, you have the wrong perception about God. You need to understand that God's ways are best ways, that God's ways are good ways. God's ways are the ways. God's ways are the way things work. And if you want to flourish, if you want to walk in real reality, you simply have to submit to the one who says this is the best way. I think the issue of oppression is big for the deconstructionists. The question, of course, and this is what I'm going to continue to ponder, is how do you show them a better way? From Carl Truman, the current problem with apostasy is not fundamentally different from the problem in the past. Demas rejected the faith for the same reason the TikTok apostate does. He loves the world more than he loves Christ. And that is why I think if we're going to go to university campuses, we need to give sufficient reason to love Christ more than the world. And guess what? We've got those. We don't just have sufficient reason. We have overflowing reason to show he's the better. He is the better choice. He's the one who knows best. Rules aren't meant to just rob you of all the fun. No, they're meant to provide you with something transcendently, I'll use the word fun, something greater, something bigger, something nobler. That's what God wants for you. The rules are an encouragement to not choose cistern water, to not choose the lesser, to not choose the pus of an open sore, because that's what sin is. To not choose the dog vomit, to not choose the stench from an open grave. God's rules are the best rules. So if you know somebody who's thinking about deconstructing, don't forget those two emphases. They don't like oppression, and they don't like God because they don't like his rules. This is Wretched Radio.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered booklet that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field. You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glom, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. fortisinstitute.org. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's word now more than ever at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle John wrote a second epistle, which warned about false teachers who take advantage of Christian hospitality to spread false doctrine. As you continue to walk in love, be careful to distinguish between truth and error. False teachers have no fellowship with God. Therefore, God's people are to have no fellowship with false teachers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There are two ways to engage the youthful deconstructionist. This is Wretched Radio. This would be way number one. Jimmy, are you ready to play your role as the university student who thinks that God is a great big cosmic meanie?
Absolutely.
We should have rehearsed this, shouldn't we? Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right, here we go. So, Jimmy, you're a university student.
Okay.
And you've heard Richard Dawkins say that God is just a megamaniacal dictator, and you've got an issue with Jesus and Christianity, and you've discovered I'm a Christian. So go ahead, bring your big accusation toward me, and I will respond with option number one.
Okay.
Yep.
So Todd, you're a Christian.
Yes, sir.
You love God.
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't he judgmental and mean?
Do you want some pizza? Want to play a gross out game? Got a kicking band and a light show. Have you ever seen a fog machine fill up an entire room?
What does that have?
Oh, it has everything to do with option one. That is how so many youth ministries have engaged kids who aren't stupid. And they're asking legitimate questions, whether they've heard them on social media or not, wherever they picked it up. They want answers to questions. And one of the ways that we have almost predominantly been responding to young people is to amuse them. How trite, how juvenile, how disrespectful. This would be option number two. How's about, I don't know, you respond to a young person with questions with respect, with treating them with imago Dei dignity, and teaching them what is an accurate understanding of Christianity. Because the Richard Dawkins accusation that God is a cosmic meanie with just a bunch of rules, well, that's just wrong. Just wrong. The book that I'm holding is called The Deconstruction of Christianity. It's written by Alyssa Childers and Tim Barnett. He's actually, I think he's associated with Stand to Reason. Chapter two is about ex-evangelical. That's the online trend, the hashtag. You're an ex-evangelical, so it's an ex-evangelical. Apparently, there's a number of podcasts dedicated to just talking about your deconstruction experience. And they went through the internet machine and they gleaned some of the reasons from people at hashtag ex-evangelical why they don't believe in God anymore. And they offer up reasons like this. Quote, a God that requires belief in it in order to avoid eternal punishment while also not providing evidence of its existence is not a loving God. Okay, that should be so basic. There shouldn't be a kid in eighth grade who can't dismantle the three accusations in that one statement. He requires belief in it in order to avoid eternal punishment. Well, we understand that it does avoid eternal punishment, but that's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is not primarily about escaping the flames of hell. It is about the privilege and joy of knowing the God who dies for sinners to save them from hell. And I suspect most deconstructionists do not understand that truth. You perhaps go, yeah, I know that. You do. They don't. Here's the second. To avoid eternal punishment while also not providing evidence of its existence. Ay, gavilta fish. No evidence of his existence? I don't know. How's about, say, you? How's about, I don't know, the entire planet? Is the universe enough proof for you that there's a universe maker? And then it says, he's not a loving God. I know that the love of God has been roundly abused in so many circles. But even in those liberal Protestant circles or the Joel Osteen-like circles, it's a poor definition of love. It's not a robust understanding of what a sacrificial agape love that loves despite the unloveliness of the person being loved. That's agape love. The love that God shows is not to charming, delightful souls who are so worthy of his affection. No, he loves the unlovable. That's how amazing the love of God is. And while we've seen the abuse of it, that doesn't mean that we should stop talking about the love of God. You can't help but wonder if we haven't in some way contributed to the sadness that permeates our society. Let's be honest. People like to be loved. You like to be loved. I like to be loved. Jimmy someday might experience, somebody might love Jimmy someday. He'll enjoy that. It's a human thing. And we haven't been talking about the love of God as much as we should. And so people can sling out these accusations. Oh, he's a mega maniacal dictator. He doesn't give any evidence of his existence. Oh, you don't understand who God is. And that is why methinks, I know we're months away from me going to Oklahoma to the university to go back to school and talk about deconstruction with the students, but I'm thinking just changing their understanding of what Christianity is a pretty good starting place. What do you think? I suspect most young people think Christianity is about oppression. It's about rules. It's about robbing us of fun. It's a joyless sort of thing. Well, here's another one of the excuses that people give at ex-evangelical. I'm not going to derive my cosmology from 4,000-year-old legends of a jealous, bloodthirsty demigod. You don't even know what you don't know what you're talking about. Here's another one. In abusive relationships, one person convinces another person that they are worthless and no one else could ever love them. That's why people stay. That's also how the church operates. Well, hold on a second. Let's ask a question. Are we worth anything? If you don't believe in God, a human being is dirt. That's it. A human being is sophisticated ooze, no more, probably even less. You have no value unless there is one to ascribe value to you. Because in and of ourselves, okay, here, this I've got a box of Kleenex in front of me. Is this Kleenex valuable? And the answer is, well, it depends. It depends on if somebody values it. Does somebody need it? Okay, so now here's what I'm doing. Can't hear it. I'm folding. Wow. Did you see all the stuff that... Did you see... Jimmy, can you see that? I was crinkling. I was going to throw the tissue away.
Uh-huh.
But all this stuff, like a cloud of stuff. I know what Puffs is up to. They put all that powder in there, so you go to blow your nose, you can't see it. And all you do is you get more fluff up your nose. So you have to keep using the Kleenex.
That's it.
I'm telling you.
Circular.
This, I need to go on the Joe Rogan show with this theory because I'm telling, okay, that Kleenex is now in the garbage. Does it have any value? No, doesn't. Why? Nobody needs it. Nobody wants it. Bingo. Unless there is one to ascribe value to human beings, they have no value. And so this accusation is simply inaccurate. The staggering news of the gospel is that you are worthless, and yet you have value because the one who made you ascribes value to you. That's what makes you precious. Not what you're composed of, but because of the one who composed you and says, I value you. I ascribe that to you. I love you. University students and most kids in youth groups, they've been pizza partied to pieces. They have been grossed out game. They've been treated like juveniles. And we are simply not addressing the big questions and the big issues. So what are they doing? They're deconstructing. And what are they deconstructing? A mist, a vapor, a straw man. They're not deconstructing Christianity. They're deconstructing what they think Christianity is. For many, this is from the book, for many in the ex-evangelical community, evangelical is perceived to be synonymous with misogyny, racism, homophobia, and the political support of Donald Trump. Okay, that's a shame. I understand why they might come to those conclusions, but what are we telling them to counter it? And why do so many Christian kids who spend their youth in groups consuming pizza and playing games, why do they believe that's what Christianity is about? Because we simply haven't taught them the truth. In the deconstruction movement, essential Christian truths like the doctrine of final judgment, substitutionary atonement, and biblical authority are often rightly associated with evangelicalism, but also lumped together with white supremacy, Christian nationalism, Western civilization in general. This is one reason the mantra, decolonize your theology, has become so popular in deconstruction circles. In other words, they're deconstructing something that doesn't exist. So if a kid is going to deconstruct, well, ultimately you and I can't stop that, but we can make sure that they deconstruct what Christianity is and not what it isn't, simply by telling them the truth and teaching them of the glories of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.